Hello and welcome to SIGGRAPH Spotlight. In this latest episode, we bring you Santiago Echeverri, a professor at the University of Tampa and a member of the ACM SIGGRAPH International Resources Committee, as he chats with the team behind Loving Vincent, an award-winning and Oscar-nominated film, which just so happens to be the first ever fully painted animated feature. The film shares the life of Vincent van Gogh, and two of the creators, Franco and Lucas, joined us to discuss their work on the feature, their experience working in Poland, and so much more.
Hello, everybody. This is Santiago Echeverri, and it's a pleasure for me to introduce Francho Melendez and Lucas Mashkevich. I hope I pronounced it in the correct way, who are visiting us and participating with us from Poland. I am in Florida, in sunny Florida. Welcome, Francho and Lucas. It's a pleasure for me to be able to participate in this interview. And I would like to ask you a series of questions to benefit the global community of SIGGRAPH members. I'm going to start with you, Francho, and then I'm going to go with you, Lucas. What is your background and what is it that you're doing now for a living?
Hi, thanks for having me, first of all. Well, my background is I'm a computer scientist. I did computer engineering back in Spain, and I studied a PhD in computer graphics in Manchester. Currently, I'm working at the Wrocław University, also in the computer science department, and I teach computer vision and computer graphics in general.
Fascinating. And Lucas, what about you? What's your background, and what do you do for a living right now?
My background is, for the most part, artistic one. I have a master's degree in art school in Krakow in animation department. But in general, I was interested in drawing and into the animation, so that haven't changed much since. And for now, I'm doing the compositing of 2D animations in Gdańsk in Grupa Smacznego Studio. Wow. So I'm continuing my passion.
So this is truly an interdisciplinary collaboration between the two of you.
Yeah, sure.
And how did you get involved with SIGGRAPH, or how did you hear about SIGGRAPH?
So my first experience in SIGGRAPH was in 2008. So I had the pleasure to go there without knowing what to expect, really. And, well, I was hooked, I guess. And then I got involved in the Manchester SIGGRAPH chapter. Later, I started to volunteer for the IRC. And eventually, when I moved to Wrocław, to Poland, I thought it was a good opportunity to bring some of that energy and some of that content and that people to Poland. So I founded the Wrocław SIGGRAPH chapter. And yeah, that's kind of my story with SIGGRAPH.
And what about you, Lucas?
Well, I've heard about SIGGRAPH, I think, as early as 2008. So that was the first time I've heard about SIGGRAPH at all. But it wasn't until I met Francho that offered me an opportunity to go to SIGGRAPH and participate in one. So I big thanks to Francho, because otherwise it wouldn't be possible for me to.
It is a life-changing experience. You're absolutely right. It's an experience that once you try it once, you know you are hooked. And mine was 1996. It was my first time. It was ages ago. And I also wanted to ask you, have you ever worked with international communities before SIGGRAPH?
When I moved to Manchester, my fellow PhD students were from all around the world, really. So I guess that was my first contact with multicultural communities, I guess. But actually, it was SIGGRAPH, my first opportunity to actually do some work with people from many different places that are actually working in many different countries and many different areas of work as well.
And Lucas?
So, well, for me, the opportunity to work with, let's say, international crew was in Wrocław, in CETA. That's where I met Francho. That was, I think, like the first time I've, like, in a serious manner, collaborated and worked with someone abroad. And later on, it was a Loving Vincent experience where there was, well, some painters which were from all over the world with whom I had a pleasure to work on the movie. So that's like my background collaboration on international level.
What a fantastic experience, by the way. And I will be asking you questions about Loving Vincent. You can be sure. How is it, and in a way, Francho, your experience is as you're an expat. You left Spain and then you went to Manchester and now you're in Poland. How is it that you can see the differences between working in Spain and having worked in Manchester and now in Poland?
So, I mean, obviously, if you think of it in an international, a more intercontinental way, probably all countries in Europe are fairly homogeneous. But I would say that Spain and Poland are even more homogeneous in the sense than UK, for example, in the sense that the people living there are mostly Polish people in Poland and Spanish people in Spain. And in the UK, the community is much more international, in particular in Manchester, where I was living. And then there is other differences, I think, in the way we socialize. So Spanish people, we are more social, I think, than Polish people and even British people. And also Polish and English people are maybe a little bit more individualistic in the sense of doing things more as individuals, where in Spain we kind of tend to do things in groups. Simple things like everyday social things that we do, like going for lunch or things like that.
And what about you, Lucas? In your case, when you were working with the international teams, how can you compare this international experience with the work that you're doing in your country?
Well, Loving Vincent was a very specific experience or type of work, so it was enriching in that sense that the people who were coming from abroad, they really wanted to participate in it. And for me, it was very important to enable them to do their work, because that was part of what the things I did. So the mutual exchange and collaboration was my main focus. But I couldn't say that from my point of view, I see much of a difference between collaborating with people from abroad and collaborating with people in Poland. So in that sense, I think everyone were very professional and highly engaged. So maybe the engagement was the most differentiating aspect of the movie, but that was a project in general. So that, I think, the only difference which I could point to, the engagement and, let's say, the love for the project. But apart from that, I don't think so. I could tell much about the differences or similarities. For me, it's mostly the same experience. The only thing which differs is the language.
How interesting. And it shows that now it's a much more global community and we're more connected than we were before. But in that sense, I had the chance to grow up in Latin America. And Lucas, believe it or not, we used to watch animations coming from communist era, pretty much, because they were free animations that were distributed. And we grew up watching animations coming from Poland, coming from the USSR, coming from these countries but in the old days were under the occupation or had different political regimes. And for us in our education, we knew that Poland had a very strong tradition in animation. And because, Francho, you're also working in Poland, I wanted to ask you both, what is trending today? What are the areas that people are the most interested in Poland today? What are the topics that are the most popular in Poland?
Well, I mean, I personally work in a pretty narrow area of expertise. I'm not sure whether my point of view is very real or is very biased towards my experience. But I think, well, Wrocław in particular is very big in software development in general. And obviously, we have quite a big company doing video games here. And there is some other companies in Poland that are growing in that regard. So game dev is also growing quite a bit. And of course, the rest of the technological trends like deep learning and computer vision, virtual reality, all these are getting also very popular here because there's a very young community of computer scientists and programmers, and there is a lot of innovation and a lot of entrepreneurship in Wrocław. So yeah, I think all the topics related to trending technologies out there are present in the Wrocław.
And Lucas, from the perspective of with a background in animation and art, what do you see that are now the trends amongst your peers and students in Poland?
But what I can say, at least in Poland, there is a high drive to do a high quality, very professional work. And of course, in relation to what is done in the West in general, in France, in the United States, and in Japan. So at least in terms of animation. So Polish animation creators aspire to do a very high quality production and collaborate actually or going abroad to work in a high profile animation studio. So that's the aim in general in the young people which I even now in the studio. They have this ambition not to just stay here but to expand their experience and to work with the best.
Poland has seen an important growth in film production, and there's a lot of production. Movies have been produced, and even TV series have been produced in Poland. Are there any notable companies or labs or researchers or engineers that we should keep an eye on? Like, what schools or companies, what research centers should we be putting attention on?
Let's go. I think in the areas where I'm most interested in, which are, you know, video games, 3D graphics in general, and maybe also post-production, I think CD Projekt Red is obviously has become bigger and very popular, and Techland, so those are the, I think, the two biggest video game companies in Poland, and they probably will keep growing, and probably Juice and Platish Image are also the two flagships in terms of production and post-production works.
Are you related to any of those companies so that we can still contact you?
Well, I know some people in Techland, and we have some common friends that work in Platish Image.
So yeah, there is communication between academia and the field, and the production field.
There is a bit. We are a very small group in the university doing graphics, but we try to keep in touch with, in particular with Techland, which is I think, the most technical company that has any relationship with graphics in our town. So they take some of the students for internships and for master's projects and things like that. And we've done some events with the chapter with them. And in general, they are very open to collaborate with us and to be present for students as well.
I wanted to ask you another question. Do you get any state support or European support? Or is it more technology-driven and private industry and the private sector that's driving the research in animation, the research in new technologies?
There is quite a lot of support for innovation, I would say, but I think most of this support actually goes to private companies for them to actually do the research and development. So obviously universities can collaborate within these projects, but most of the funding programs, at least the relevant ones, are more oriented to industry. Of course, we have also funding to do research, but those are not specific for one particular area. They are shared within all the science areas. In Poland in particular, there is a program called GAME-IN, National Research and Development Center, which is specific for video games companies to actually invest on innovation and technology and research, which I think is a very interesting idea, and is very good for also for researchers as myself to be part of the industry and also be able to push the technology.
This is a fascinating answer. Thank you. And related to that, based on your experiences, both Lucas and Francho, what do you think is going to be the next thing coming ahead? What's going to be popular based on your research in Poland? What do you think is going to be the strongest feature in your fields coming ahead?
Lucas?
I was trying to keep with the order, but sure. Well, this is only my opinion, and I'm not sure exactly if this will be the way it is, but that's just my point of view, that I think the game industry in Poland expands very rapidly, or maybe it is just a CD project, but I think that's the company which grows the most and attracts most attention, and it has a highly successful game, and that's where I guess most of the resources go, and young people see a lot of opportunities to engage in. So I think that's where Polish, let's say, even in regard to animation industry will develop in the games, because that's where the successes are. And in terms of animation, I'm not sure if it will change very much from what it is now, but I can only say that there are 20 animation production studios in Poland which do specifically 2D animation, maybe slightly 3D animation, but they are aspiring to do international feature animation, so they are mostly in Poland production.
So is there a big market today in for local productions in animation in Poland?
I think it grows more and more because of the internet. And they collaborate with the, well, they do productions for the other countries, let's say. So it's not always even the animation which is for the Polish market, but they execute a production for the foreign countries, that for is... USA, for UK, or others. So
yeah, the world is becoming smaller, as we were saying earlier. And I, now I would like to ask you a series of questions related to your experience with Loving Vincent, the movie. I cannot imagine trying to coordinate the work of over 100 painters. What was your role, both of your roles in the movie, to make sure that this process of painting was going to work in the most efficient way?
I mean, my role in the movie is actually fairly small. I just did some small programs that help with the contour detections of the guides that we were producing for the painters to guide them in the process. I think Lucas actually is the one that has been dealing with coordinating and actually with the painters themselves.
Well, I went to Gdańsk specifically to be on site to see exactly what are the issues and in that sense help as much as possible with the issues or the challenges which were ahead. But I would say that what we initially started with Rancho just to try to come up what will work the best in terms of materials provided for painters. That was, let's say, philosophy which at least I tried to implement during the whole pre-production or production stage of the movie, because the challenge was that no one did it on that scale, or at least in Poland, that no one did it in that manner, this type of movie. So it had a lot of stuff had to needed to be invented from scratch, let's say.
And so, I realized that you actually had to implement the pause, the painting animation workstations, which you created.
Well, that was actually Breakthrough Studios, which developed this specifically for this movie. But even in this PAF system, what we had to provide was the reference video materials. And only during the production, a lot of issues manifested themselves, let's say, because beforehand we didn't know all the challenges, and they only became visible when we had to do specific scenes or specific sequences. And so until we didn't have an issue, we weren't able to foresee it and think of the solution for it. So I would say that we were discovering the issues or the problems along the way of producing each sequence, and only then we were able to come up with the solution. So I would say we were very open-minded and very focused on what issues are and tried our best to think of the best workable solution. So
it's very creative. It's a question of combining creativity.
Yeah, I think that's my opinion. That partly that's why this movie worked out so well at the end, because it wasn't so obvious how it should be done, and we were just trying a lot of, maybe the things or tools which we used were new, but in regards to providing the animators the video references, we had no limits or any guidelines how to specifically do it. So we were just solving the problems along the way. And in that sense, that's how all the process was refined. Because, of course, there were some initial ideas how it should be done. But when it didn't work, we just had to try new stuff. So in that regard, there was a lot of openness to try new things. And I think that's in big part why a lot of sequences end up so beautiful. But
it is exquisite.
I need to stress this, that it's what we did was just an aid for painters, and I think I won't exaggerate that each painter in their paths did their own hard job on their own. We were just trying to help them, but it was their effort allowed this each sequence to look the way it did. They had to compare all the frames to ensure the fluency of the animation. So, and of course, they were supervised by even more talented people, and all of this was supervised by the director. So,
wow. I do have a question from some of my students, and actually they were figuring out if in the process of animation, the backgrounds were static and then the rest was added through keyframing, through green screen, when in the paintings, because they were wondering, they look at the paintings and they say the backgrounds are static. So how is it that the painters managed to paint that background in each one of the frames? Or did they paint just one background and added the characters on top?
Well, actually, each sequence was painted always on the same canvas. So after you painted the first frame, and as long as character didn't pass from left to right, for example, the background didn't have to be repainted. So in the areas where character didn't obscure the background, it just stayed in the manner as it was painted on the first frame. But in some instances where the differences were too big, we had to use post-production to even it out. So
wow.
There was a post-production on some sequences which, for the consistency or continuity issues, which were aid in that sense.
Yeah, absolutely.
But most of the time, the background just wasn't repainted or was repainted very meticulously, so it will match the first frame. And in that sense, that's all the painter's work.
Yeah,
that's why I say they allowed this movie to look the way it did.
Where are those paintings today?
Well, some of them were sold on the auction. Most of them were stored right through Studio's lot, let's say art magazine. So they stored all the frames which were created, the last frames of each sequence. I think there were between 600 to 800. I'm not sure exactly, because some of the sequences were repainted or painted second time or had to be divided between a couple of painters. I think five was the most division of a single long sequence which occurred in the movie. Some of them still can be bought, or I think they've sold not all the frames, but all which were exhibited for sale. But I think they have much more of the last frames of the movie.
I can imagine. There's a lot of frames. I know that. And I am going to ask you the last question and see how easily you can answer this question. It's every time we work on a long project, on a project that is time consuming, there's something that changes in us for the better. How do you think that working in Loving Vincent contributed to who you are today?
Well, I meet my fiance.
Bravo.
So it contributed greatly. In my life, so I will never forget that.
Amazing.
But in regard to the animation, I think it's even hard to stress out, because I started completely green without any knowledge how to do it and without any experience. So it was a great learning curve. I can tell you that this is the most richest or most valuable thing which I got out from this production. That was extreme steep learning curve. And I was allowed to try out a lot of stuff because no one knew how to do it. And I'm very grateful for this, because luckily it ended up that everyone loved it in terms of the final result. So, but still, it was an amazing experience to try to do something which haven't been tried or done in that scale. And to have opportunity to try new stuff, it's hard to even express how enriching this is. So I think that's it.
Thank you, Lucas. And what about you, Francho?
Well, for me as a computer engineer, the opportunity of being involved in this kind of project that is so handcrafted and so it has so art into it, and meet all these people that are all these artists, for me it was a fantastic experience and opportunity. It just reinforced my dream of childhood of somehow being able to participate in these very creative projects from the technological perspective, but still hand by hand with people with artistic skills, which I don't have.
Are we going to see any creative endeavors between the two of you collaborating together in the future?
I think so.
I hope so, yeah. I mean, currently we are in different cities. Both of us are very busy with things, but yeah, I think it would be a very great idea.
Cannot wait to see it, believe me. It's going to be amazing. Well, Francho and Lucas, thank you so much for spending this time with us. This was Santiago Echeverri in Florida, United States, with Francho Melendez and Lucas Maszkiewicz in Poland. And we're very thankful for your participation. And please stay in tune, and we're always going to be bringing you more surprises. Thank you, guys.
Thank you very much. It was a pleasure.
It was a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of Cigar Spotlight. As always, if you like the podcast, please subscribe or leave us a review on iTunes. For more information about Loving Vincent or the Cigar Computer Animation Festival, please visit the links in our show notes. We hope to see you August 12th through 16th in Vancouver.